This is Marathon Training Academy, episode 195.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Health IQ. Health IQ uses science and data to negotiate lower rates on life insurance for health-conscious people. Research shows that marathon runners have a 29% lower risk of mortality, so let Health IQ get you the life insurance rate you deserve. For a free quote, visit healthiq.com/MTA. That's healthiq.com/MTA. Welcome to the MTA podcast, where it's all about taking your running and marathon training to the next level. I'm Trevor.
And I'm Angie.
In this episode, we bring you an interview with the amazing Canadian runner Ed Whitlock, who at 85 years of age just ran a sub-4-hour marathon and set a world record. And in this episode's quick tip, we answer a question about keeping your motivation and training going through the winter months. And of course, if you're interested in improving your physical and mental toughness, find out how to train with us in our awesome online community when you visit marathontrainingacademy.com. So, Angie, we're actually recording this little intro part on Halloween.
Of all days.
Our kids only went to school for half a day, and I think they just ate sugar the whole time they were there. Just jacked them up on sugar and then sent them home. Our six-year-old is in kindergarten, and I went to his Halloween parade and party. Each kid got a huge donut and a glass of chocolate milk and several goodie bags full of candy. And to me, that was the most horrifying Halloween I've ever seen. Just, I mean, every kid needs to have a donut once in a while, but they get a lot of sugar at school, as it is.
Yeah, they do. I'm glad I was teaching yoga instead of watching that horror-filled event.
We're not too big on feeding kids a ton of sugar. Apologize to any kids listening to this. They're like, hey, these are not fun people.
You're right. I'm not a fun mom.
But anyway, it's nice to celebrate. And I'm really excited about this episode. Got a great interview with a very inspiring gentleman. I know you folks are going to love it. Let's go ahead and, before we get into that, read a couple of shout-outs here and talk about what's going on lately. I know the Marine Corps Marathon just got over with yesterday at the time of this recording. I had several folks from the academy that were there toughing it out in what sounds like it was a hot day, right?
Yeah, it does sound like it got really warm towards those later miles. And, of course, that stretch over the bridge where there really isn't any water for a while.
Yeah.
That's a tough section. So we've heard back from people who, managed to stay strong, had to dig into their mental toughness and power through. And really, it's such an inspiring event that it's worth it, even if it's a hot day. We'd also like to say congratulations to my coaching client, JJ, who was recently the third woman overall and second in her age group at a Halloween spooktacular 10K. Congrats to my coaching client, Ramesh, who ran two half marathons 1 week apart and qualified for Half Fanatics. Congratulations to another coaching client of mine, Elliot, who got a new half marathon PR of 1 hour and 42 minutes this past weekend. And congratulations to Eric, who broke the course record by over a minute and finished second overall at a recent local 5K.
Nice.
So he was pretty happy. He calls himself a geezer. So he was pretty pumped to be able to accomplish that. And this note comes from Scott in the academy. He says, first marathon of hopefully many is in the bag. I had a great run. I finished in 3:38:44 and took first in my age group.
Wow.
Thank you to this group and to Angie and Trevor for all your help, encouragement, and great information that kept me going through the miles.
Well, that is a great time for your first marathon. Scott, you might have a gift, my friend.
I would say so. Very successful start. This note comes from Allison in the academy. She says, I had an awesome half marathon in Bournemouth, UK, and got a new personal best of 1 hour and 53 minutes, knocking over 5 minutes off my time. There was a killer hill at mile 7, but I pushed on and finished with a sprint finish. The Kraken was released.
Yes!
It was a special race for us, as it was my husband's first half marathon. Thanks for continuing to inspire and support us.
Thanks for inspiring us and, encouraging your husband, too. Maybe he got into running because of you. I'm not sure, but it's cool to see a couple that runs together.
That's right. Anytime a Kraken is released, it's a good day, right?
That's right. I can feel it reverberate all the way from here.
You should have dressed up as a Kraken for Halloween.
It is not easy to find a Kraken costume.
I'll knit you one.
Yeah, I've never seen you knit a thing. No, I actually had this wager going Earlier this summer, we were trying to get first in the podcast awards for health and fitness. We got nominated for the podcast awards, the prestigious podcast awards. And we got beat by some show about sleep or something. <I don't...
laughs> Some unnecessary thing like sleep.
If we would have won, I made a deal that I would run in a Kraken costume. So I've actually researched into where to find these things. Pretty much just looks like a big squid on your head. But maybe someday, yes, I will do that, Angie.
That would be awesome.
You can run along beside me as the Kraken tamer.
That's okay.
Or the whip.
This note comes from Andy in Germany. He says, "Dear Angie and Trevor, about 18 months ago, I started to run on a regular basis with the idea of maybe going for a marathon someday, maybe even going for sub 4. I did some running, but only as something to support other activities, and I never went longer than 10K. During that time, I was looking for a marathon podcast, and there it was. You have what it takes to run a marathon." We've heard that before, haven't we?
Hey, we are the marathon podcast.
"You guys gave me so much motivation and knowledge about the long runs, cross-training, nutrition, and especially the mental part of it. So I recently ran my first marathon in my hometown of Munich, where Frank Shorter won the Olympic race in 1972, and I was able to finish in 3 hours and 20 minutes.
Wow.
Thank you guys so much. I could not have done it without your awesome podcast. Cheers from Munich, where you should consider running too, as it is right after the Oktoberfest every year. Yes, you've got what it takes to survive both."
And that comes from Andy. Andy, I actually have been trying to talk Angie into doing the Munich Marathon next year because, as many of you know, we did Berlin. If you haven't heard that recap, go back and listen to it a couple episodes ago. I love going to Germany so much. We didn't get to go down to Bavaria, and there's so much more for us to see and do. Of course, we got a lot of listeners over there. So we just got to do it, Angie. We got to go back.
Very tempting, yes. But I want to go to Scotland.
I want to go to Scotland.
Take me there now.
Yes, you've got your eyes on a marathon over there, the Loch Ness Marathon, I think, right?
Yes.
But thanks for the note, Andy, and keep up the good work. Hopefully we will be in Munich next year.
You never know. And this last note comes from Sammy. She says, "Hello from Denver. I began listening to your podcast in 2012 while I trained for my first marathon. Since then, I've completed 5 marathons with a recent PR of 3 hours 45 minutes. Last weekend, I finished my first ultra, the Bear Chase Trail Race 50-miler in Lakewood, Colorado, and got second place woman finish and 6th overall. What an absolutely beautiful race. I still cannot believe I actually finished, let alone placed. Your podcast has helped me get through many, many long runs, and your most recent episode with ultra runner Ian Sharman was particularly timely as I tapered for my 50-mile race. Thank you for taking me from a novice runner to an ultra marathoner."
Wow. Congrats, Sammy. That's spectacular. That's quite a journey she has been on. And what matters is wherever you are in your running journey, just progressing from here to become a better version of yourself, no matter what that looks like or means. It's all a personal journey, but we are glad to be on that journey with you. And we hope that this interview that we're going to hear today is very motivating and inspiring to you. So just a little bio on Ed here. Ed Whitlock lives in Ontario. He's originally from the UK. And he holds records from 1,500 meters up to the marathon. His recent marathon in Toronto was 3 hours, 56 minutes, and 33 seconds at 85 years of age.
He beat the previous age group record by more than 30 minutes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's very impressive.
So in this interview, you're going to hear me ask Ed about his recent marathon record, his training, as well as his thoughts on longevity, his habits, routines, philosophy of life, and more. He's a very kind and humble man and a huge inspiration to runners all over the world. So let's go ahead and get into that interview with Ed Whitlock right now. Ed, first of all, congratulations on that awesome run.
Thank you very much.
So, take us back to the beginning. How did you get started running marathons?
Well, it was no decision on my part, really. It was my son, who was 14 at the time, had been running for every day for a year, and he was bound and determined he was going to run a marathon.
Mm.
And so I ran it with him. It was a March marathon in Montreal, and we had snowbanks on the side of the road, and I ran it in a full tracksuit.
Wow.
At that time I was concentrating on middle distance running. I didn't consider myself a long distance runner at that time.
Okay.
And that was when I was about 46, I guess.
Okay. How many marathons do you typically run a year?
Usually only one.
Okay.
The most I've ever run is three, and I've averaged about one a year since I started doing them in my 40s.
Amazing. So what's the grand total?
I'm not sure. Around 40, about 41, 42, something like that, I think.
Do you have any marathons in the States that you've come down here and run?
Columbus. I won the Columbus Marathon in
Columbus, Ohio. Wow.
I think three times in my late 60s.
Okay.
And three or four times.
And do you have a favorite marathon in Canada? We have a lot of listeners in Canada.
Well, the one I typically run is the Toronto Waterfront Marathon now, which is in October, and it's convenient. So it's about Toronto's about 40 miles from where I live. That's the main reason I do that one, really. I mean, there are other features about it that are attractive to me because it's a marathon that starts and finishes at virtually at the same place, and I tend to favor those, as those are most likely not to have any issues about legality of
right.
a record.
So it sounds like you try to set a record a lot of times when you run a marathon, is that correct?
Yeah, that's my main impetus, has been recently, yes.
Okay. And you've set dozens of records. And I've also read that you're most proud of a record you set in, I think when you were 73, you ran sub 3 in the marathon. Can you tell us about that real quick?
Oh, that was what I consider to be a magic day. I'd like to... like to be able to get to be as feel as well as I did that day. I knew before the race that I was in good shape. If I'd run a very good 10K about a couple of weeks before,
okay,
and I had 6 months of solid marathon type training under my belt, and it really was. Kind of a magic day, and I ran 2:54:49 that day, and so I've run sub 3 hours three times since I've been over 70, and I'm surprised that nobody else has done that yet. I think. Lots of runners have run well under 3 hours in their late 60s,
okay,
and then for some reason or other have not run sub 3 when they got to 70 for various reasons.
Hmm.
So no one's done it yet. We'll see when it happens.
So a lot of people are wondering, what's your secret?
good genes, I guess.
Okay.
I think that's the major factor. I'm not aware that my parents were particularly athletic at all, but something they must have given me was helped me do what I do. That certainly there are some long life genes, or that's in the family. But I'm not aware there's any athletics particularly.
Did you take really good care of yourself when you were younger, you know, growing up as a young adult and middle age, you think?
Consciously, no.
Hmm.
But my upbringing in Britain was active.
Okay.
You know, where my father, in those days, in general, people of my father's station in life, which was sort of middle class type of thing, didn't have cars in general. So one walked, ran, rode a bike, or did something like that to get anywhere. I you know, in my late teens, I would think nothing of cycling 100 miles in a day, not for exercise purposes, but get from one place to another. And then I don't know what factor the wartime diet had. I think we were, you know, it was a somewhat restricted diet, but probably good for us in a way.
Yeah.
And so, you know, how much all those factors come into it, I don't know. And, you know, as an adult, between 20 and 40, I did no specific exercise, but I was sort of active. I did played various sports and did that sort of thing, and walked briskly from place to place. So, you know, I was active, even though I wasn't running. I mean, that was in the days before the current jogging craze got started. You never saw old people on the roads back then. When I was in my 20s and 30s, you never saw an adult on the roads running. That was, he'd been looked upon as some sort of lunatic.
I know, it's amazing how things have changed. I'm sure you've, I mean, now you've seen a couple of running booms and have lived through so much. And when you set these records now, is there like a flurry of media attention that you get? Because I've read a lot of articles.
Particularly this one. There was quite a lot after I ran the that marathon when I was 73. And a certain amount when I ran the marathon, set the records when I was 75 and 80. But this one, for whatever reason, seems to have generated quite a lot of publicity in the past. Certainly the 2 days after the marathon, it was just sort of one phone call and email message, etc., after another. It's sort of gradually tailing off now, but I still have a few emails to answer.
Well, we're honored that you are speaking to us. When you go to these races, you probably are quite a celebrity now. Do a lot of people recognize you?
Yes.
You probably get a lot of the same questions over and over, though.
One of the comments that people make to me, you know, that I'm inspirational, you're an inspiration or something, and
yes.
I don't know how to respond to that. I don't consider myself an inspirational type person, and but it's, I mean, I like going to the races and talking to people and that sort of thing. But I've got a terrible memory for faces and people, and I'm afraid all these people I meet, I can't remember them.
Yeah.
A few minutes after I've met them, I kind of despair of myself at times.
Yeah. I understand. I have a tough time with names. So I'm curious, just looking back at your life and trying to uncover some healthy habits that maybe you had. Can you talk a little bit about, did you have any particular diet or nutrition philosophy?
No, I don't pay any real attention to my diet at all.
Wow.
I think I eat relatively healthy, but we kind of formalize our sit down meals. We have breakfast, lunch, and dinner. We don't kind of graze throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not a vegetarian, but I don't eat a lot of meat.
Mm-hmm.
I probably eat more fats and sugar than would be than dietitians would recommend. But I say I don't pay any particular attention to that. I basically eat what I like, really.
Do you have a celebratory meal or a treat after a marathon?
No, not particularly. I had no great big celebration at all after the marathon. I just went back and came home and settled into my normal routine.
Okay,
apart
so
from
no
all the phone calls.
No beer or anything, huh?
No, not a beer drink, not a big beer drink. I do drink beer on occasion and drink more wine than beer.
Okay, sounds good. I've read some studies about how people who've lived a long time and have this amazing longevity, they're more stress-free, that is, in their outlook and their attitude about life. Have you found that to be true? I mean, how have you handled stress in life? And
I try to avoid stressful situations apart from the time just before a race, which is a bit stressful.
Yes, it is.
But no, I'm not a person who worries a lot.
That's good.
I think I worry far less than the average population. You know, I live a comfortable life and have enough money to be comfortable and not concerned about the future at all.
Yeah.
So all of those things, I guess, lead to low stress. And
sure.
I certainly believe that is a factor.
Yeah. What did you do for a career?
Well, I graduated in mining engineering, and I started in the working in the mines in Northern Ontario, and I was up there for the first 3 or 4 or 5 years that I was in Canada. But then I came down to Southern Ontario and got involved in the soft rock business.
Okay.
And ended up being in head office and moving paper from one side of the desk to the other.
Okay. And I also read that you have a pair of running shoes that are 25 years old. Did you?
Yes, yeah, so they were the pair I ran the marathon in, yes.
Wow. So are they like your lucky shoes?
Well, they are, yes. They've been lucky I've been lucky with them, but the reason I'm running in those, one of the reasons is that, the principal reason, is that the new running racing flats tend to be are much stiffer than these are. These are very, very flexible, and I don't know of any current model of racing flat as flexible as these.
Yeah.
And I found them very comfortable. I ran that marathon without socks. That's the first time I've ever done that. And I didn't have any chafing or blisters to show for it, and I was a bit surprised by that, because I think that's the first time I've not had a single blister in a marathon.
Yeah, well, that's awesome. That might be something new you start doing then, right?
You know, there has been a tendency recently to go to more minimalist shoes.
Sure.
And less built-up heels than in the past, and I've been an advocate of that for a long time. You know, I've deliberately cut down the heels on these racing flats.
Okay.
This particular pair, I kind of did a bit of surgery on them.
Yeah. I've heard of other runners doing something similar.
Mm-hmm.
So how much do you think about running? I mean, it seems like it's a very big part of your identity in your everyday life.
Well, it's kind of become that. And,
yeah.
You know, there are interludes when little going on because I've had injuries off and on, and sure. At times I've had to stop running. The maximum time I've been off, I think, is 18 months. And I find that in my experience, various therapies don't seem to work for me to alleviate the condition, and I just found that taking time off is the only thing that seems to cure anything for me.
Yeah.
And for the last couple of years, I've been having issues off and on. I haven't had any extended periods of time off during that time, but I've been having a month off here, 2 months off there, that type of thing.
Sure.
Because of various aches and pains, I guess with advancing age, you tend to get more of these things, I suppose. I don't think that running is universally good for you, but I think on balance it probably is, and I don't think, if you're a bit careful, I don't think it causes too much damage to one's joints and muscles and ligaments and whatever have you.
Well, you're definitely proof of that, and that's something that we try to encourage people to do, is if they feel some nagging pain come up, some injury, that they just take time off.
Pay a bit of attention to it, and that's the difficulty is that if you stop for every little minor ache and pain, you'd never get going at all. But it's a matter of judgment as to when to pay attention and when not. And certainly you shouldn't push it too hard and take a rest when something hurts seriously.
Yeah, very wise words. So I'm sure people are wondering what your training looks like when you're building up to a marathon. So how many days a week do you run?
Well, the objective is to run every day.
Wow.
And to run basically as long as I can, considering my current level of fitness.
Okay, right.
So I find that I can run shorter distances on the track with this long, slow distance training that I do. I find that in order to run well, I have to work on my endurance, and I don't seem to have to work on my speed too much. So all I do is go out and run deliberately, somewhat slowly.
Okay.
For as long as possible each day, and before a marathon, I would like to have 6 months of that type of training before the marathon, running it basically every day for 3 hours, something like that.
Well, that's incredible.
Now,
so,
I would take off the odd day here and there. And I would run shorter races during that time, which is where I get my speed workout from, I guess.
So if you're building up to your marathon, just to make sure I understood you correctly, you run every day for around 3 hours, just a slow distance run.
Yeah, apart from these interludes
for speed,
for a shorter race.
Wow, that is incredible.
So I deliberately try to shuffle along and not bound around too much while I'm doing this, and I don't pay any attention to how far I've gone or what pace I've run or anything like that. I just go around and try and run with the minimum impact, shuffle along and not bound around. Whereas when I'm racing, I'm have a fair amount of knee lift and backspring to my leg, and I try to avoid that when I'm training.
That's good. How fast are you averaging?
I don't measure that.
Okay.
But it's probably I'm gradually getting slower and slower as the years go by, but probably now that I'm running, 10, 11 minute miles, something like that, maybe.
Sure.
And, when I'm out there, I kind of, just run along the way when I feel. I don't try to, I try not to be exhausted at the finish. By the time my expected time of my training that day gets to an end, I try to not feel exhausted, so I'm ready to go out again the following day.
Yeah. Do you take walk breaks?
No.
Oh wow.
No. So I've been running around there slowly, and I feel a sort of little niggle or something like that. I'll take a walk and see if that walks it away or something like that.
Okay.
But normally it's just a continuous slow jog.
Gotcha. So I can imagine that a lot of people are hearing this 3 hours a day, and they're thinking, I think I would just get so bored having to. So what do you think about, and how do you occupy your mind while you're out there?
I don't know. One of the main thoughts that goes through my mind is how's the time going by? Oh, gee, time is going by slowly today. I wish this was all over. If I could somehow or other, run well without having to train, that would be nice.
Oh, okay.
I don't take any great enjoyment about that, particularly out of this running 3 hours a day. It's a kind of a chore that I have to do in order to race well. And
that's interesting.
Just put up with it, I guess. But if I could... I don't think I go out and run for my health. I go out and do this in order to be able to race well.
Yes. Wow, that makes sense.
Whether this really is the best thing for me, I mean, I'm not thoroughly convinced of that, but it does seem to be working quite well.
Yeah.
And whether it will work for anyone else, I expect it would for a number of people, but I wouldn't recommend it or say that it would work necessarily for anybody else.
Well, I was about to say that your training sounds very unconventional. I mean, most running experts would say not to run every day, and definitely not to race in shoes that are 25 years old. But
right.
You have found your own way, and you know your body, and you know what works for you, and I guess that's the guiding principle for everybody.
I've gradually evolved into this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I was in my 40s, I was concentrated on middle distance running, and I had a bit of a coach then, and did interval training and all that sort of thing, and I've just gradually evolved into this self-training situation that I have developed, and it seems to work for me.
Yeah, that's great. So is there anything else that you're hoping to accomplish? Any other records? Do you have some goals you're working toward?
No, not at the moment. Things are kind of on a low key now. There's not much more to do this year. I've got a 15K race that I expect to run in Schenectady in a couple of weeks.
Nice.
And that'll be it for the year as far as racing goes. And then there'll be the indoor track season next year.
Mm-hmm.
And I would hope to try and improve on some of the indoor records that I set earlier this year when I was not in the best of shape. And it'll be somewhat difficult because, when you get to my age now, every year that goes by, quite a bit of natural ability leaks out. So, one's fighting the aging process, but sure. I have some expectations that maybe I could do a bit better than I did last spring.
Is that pretty frustrating to feel like you're losing fitness just because of the aging process?
Well, I suppose it would in the old days, but nowadays with all these age groups mm-hmm. that they have, age group competitions and age group records, to some extent one looks forward to another,
sure.
turning another 5 years.
Yeah.
And there are easier records to attack.
Love it. So I guess one final question. Do you have any other hobbies outside of running?
No, that when you run 3 hours a day, that takes a big bite out of it. And I play around with doing a bit of vegetable gardening and nice. Trying to keep this doing various things around this house that mm-hmm. is a little older than I am that needs mm-hmm. some attention now and again, that sort of thing.
Awesome. Well, it's been a delight to talk to you, Ed, and thank you for being an inspiration. And I know our listeners are really going to enjoy hearing from you. So thanks once again. And
where are you located?
Missouri, southwest Missouri.
You're in Missouri, uh-huh.
We are.
You're from Missouri.
We are. I grew up in California, and my wife grew up in Montana, but we're living in Missouri now.
Uh-huh. Got into the flatlands.
It is, yeah. I miss the mountains, for sure.
No, imagine. Don't miss the earthquakes. They must be due for a big one out there pretty soon. It's been quite a long time since they had an earthquake out there now.
Yeah, we're right along the New Madrid fault line. I mean, we're probably like 30 miles from the New Madrid fault line. So one of the biggest earthquakes this country had was right in this area back in the 1800s. It made the Mississippi River flow backwards in spots.
Mm-hmm.
So we're hoping to get out of here before
that
happens.
More about the West Coast, though, that they are overdue.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I haven't had a big one there for... The last big one was that one in San Francisco.
Yeah, 89. I had just sat down to watch the World Series between the Oakland A's and the San Francisco Giants, and then we felt the earthquake. I was living in Modesto, which was uh-huh. about an hour and a half from San Francisco. We could definitely feel it at my house.
Yeah.
Well, you don't really have a website, do you?
No, I don't.
Okay, that's all right.
No, not even on Facebook. I'm not that far advanced.
Okay. No problem. Uh-huh. Well, any parting piece of advice that you could leave us with?
Well, when people ask me that, I like to say that I don't give advice.
That's a good practice.
I think everyone has to find what works for them and live their life accordingly, and make up their minds what's best for them. I'm not sure I know what's best for me, let alone anybody else.
I hear you. All right, well, I better let you go. Thank you so much for taking time to speak to me, and keep on keeping on.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Nice talking to you.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Bye.
We'll just like to take a quick break and thank this episode's sponsor, Performa Sleep. They make the absolute best mattress designed specifically for those with an active lifestyle. And this mattress has been designed to be cool, supportive, and rejuvenating to muscles and joints. It gives you an edge so that when you wake up every day, whether you're headed to the track or to the boardroom, you feel like you've had a great night of sleep. They actually have a copper-infused top layer that moves heat away from the body. They're also antimicrobial, antiviral, odorless, and have a low VOC. And if you're nervous about buying a mattress online, because, hey,
it's a big purchase,
you can feel confident that Performa Sleep has a 100-night risk-free and free return policy. Check out the reviews by satisfied customers and athletes on their website, performersleep.com. And for our listeners, you can take $125 off and get free shipping if you use the code MARATHON. So go to performersleep.com and use the code MARATHON.
We'd also like to thank this episode's sponsor, Health IQ. They offer lower life insurance rates for marathon runners. Many runners don't realize they can get lower rates due to their health-conscious lifestyle. And Health IQ is the only place where marathoners can get special rates on their life insurance. They're a data and science-driven company that uses that data on the health benefits of running to negotiate lower rates on life insurance with A-plus insurance carriers.
We appreciate Health IQ. They've been a great sponsor. And I know many of you have gotten a free rate quote from them. Just go to healthiq.com/MTA. And like we said on the podcast, the good news is that runners have a 45% lower risk of cardiovascular mortality compared to non-runners. And you're also 87% less likely to be diabetic than non-runners if you run 2 marathons a year. Angie, you run like 9 a year, so you're like extremely non-diabetic, right?
One would hope, huh?
But yeah, it's cool to see that running does not destroy you, that it actually is beneficial. The data shows to one's health, of course, if you do it the smart way. So why not get a great life insurance rate? See what these folks at Health IQ can do for you. Once again, that's healthiq.com/MTA. And thanks for supporting our podcast sponsor. Well, I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Ed Whitlock. What a great guy. I mean, wow, Angie, I'm sorry you missed out on this. You would have loved to talk to Ed.
I'm sorry I am too. Yeah, he sounds like a great guy who's obviously had a lot of success in his running. And the really cool thing is that he didn't really start getting serious about his running until he was in his 40s.
Yeah.
So
there you go, folks.
You know, that's just awesome. And it's also kind of funny that he's pretty unconventional in his training.
Yes.
I read a quote from one of the interviews that was done with him after he set his recent world record. He says, "I have no strong objections to any of those rules of training, but I'm not sufficiently organized or ambitious enough to do all the things you're supposed to if you're serious. The more time you spend fiddle-diddling with this and that, the less time there is to run or waste time in other ways." I did not thought that was a really, really good quote.
Yeah, anytime you can use the word fiddle-diddling. Unfortunately, I didn't hear him say that, but I would pay good money to hear him say fiddle-diddling.
I know. I just thought that really summed up his philosophy of training really well. You know, and obviously he has learned what his body needs. He listens to his body and trains accordingly and can't argue with his success.
Yeah, definitely. Well, now it's time for this episode's quick tip. And we actually have a question about keeping motivated during the cold winter months. We're working on a massive Q&A episode where we dive deep into questions that were sent in by the community, lots of great training questions, and this episode will be coming out hopefully next, so episode 196.
Yes, and we were actually joined by Coach Jen Giles. We're very excited. She's just come on the MTA team as a coach here. She's a very experienced running and triathlon coach, and we're just really excited to have her on board. She's very smart, and we thought we would just kind of give you a preview of what our upcoming Q&A episode is going to be like as Coach Jen and I both jump in and answer the questions that we received from the community.
So this is a question that actually came in from Lou Harashinsky, who, incidentally, you might have heard on our Berlin Marathon recap because we got to meet Lou in Berlin and hang out. Had a lot of fun doing that, and actually got to meet his wife as well. Great people. So here's the question, and Coach Angie and Coach Jen talking about how to maintain your fitness and your motivation during the winter. Okay, Lou from Germany says, "How can I keep up my motivation during the fall and winter? Running outside in the dark and in bad weather isn't very motivating." And he was thinking about doing more cardio or core or weight training during the week and then doing a few runs on the weekend. But the goal is to maintain fitness and build a solid base for next year's races. Does this sound like a good plan? So sounds like less running because he doesn't want to be outside in the dreary weather in the winter, but he wants to keep his, you know, his fitness level up.
Well, I mean, I think getting out in the winter and in inclement weather, it definitely builds up your mental fortitude.
There you go.
So I wouldn't totally avoid winter running unless you live in Siberia and you're going to freeze your nose off or something.
What if you live in Connecticut? It's almost like Siberia.
Yeah, exactly.
That's true.
I just think when you get outside, at least some, and during the winter, it makes winter seem, for me, it seems shorter because I feel like I'm taking control of the winter. I'm not being like chased inside and trying to avoid being cold and everything. And some people like cold weather running better than others. I tend to be more of a cold weather runner. And so once you warm up after that first mile, you know, typically if you're dressed in layers and you're managing that well, it really makes you feel good for the day. Obviously, the lack of daylight is an issue for a lot of people because they don't feel like it's very safe to run in the dark, whether it's early morning or in the evening when it gets dark earlier. You know, some people like to do a few more treadmill runs during the winter months, and I think that can be an option during the week. Maybe do, you know, one of your shorter runs on the treadmill. And then if you want to kind of, if you work during the week and you have more leeway on the weekends, if you want to do like a Saturday, Sunday run outside when you can, you know, wait till it warms up a little bit, I think that would be fine as long as you're managing, you know, a rest day, maybe after those double days of running, and then get in some good cross training during the week. I think you can be creative and make it happen. But, you know, I wouldn't discount getting out there occasionally in the cold, maybe in the dark, and getting in a run, because it is pretty empowering, I think.
So, Coach Jen, living in New England, what do you do during the winter?
I completely agree. I love cold weather running. And I'm a person that doesn't like to be cold. But to get out there and move in the cold, and I found the solution is all about what you wear. So if you're prepared and you're wearing the right gear, then it's so comfortable and enjoyable. And, you know, you throw on some gloves and a hat, two or three layers. If it's windy, a windbreaker. And then I'm happy. If I'm not dressed properly, I'm not happy. But if I'm dressed properly, I'm good to go. And it's, you're breaking a sweat. You're actually sweating a little bit more because you're so bundled up. So that's good. That feels really good. And yeah, the fresh air and just getting a little sunshine makes a world of difference to make up for that lack of sunshine that we don't get during the cold winter months. But it does. It's mentally invigorating. It's physically invigorating. And it just feels really good if you do it properly. The dark, I know, is an issue, especially for morning exercisers. So the dark can be a little tough. So I agree. Popping a treadmill run in every once in a while, there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, it can be a good way to kind of clear your mind and just like do a mindless, easy run, whether it's listening to music on the treadmill or watching TV. I don't watch TV normally, but when I'm on the treadmill, I watch TV. So I kind of look forward to it because it's been different. Another thing I would try out is just cross training during the winter. So maybe if you're going to get a weekend run outside, a treadmill run during the week, and then maybe hopping on a bike, you know, an indoor bike, taking a spin class, getting in a pool and swimming, doing something different that you're not usually used to doing, can change up the monotony of winter as well. And the other really creative thing you can do in the winter is get a pair of snowshoes, because you can run through a snowy field with snowshoes, and it's a really tough workout, harder than running, and you can really get a good workout, and it's fun and it's different. Hiking through the woods in the snow is great. You know, you can do that with your kids, your dogs. Cross-country skiing is super popular and definitely same heart rate as running, so you're still getting a really decent workout. There's also those grips for your sneakers. There's many different brands, but you can pop on those grips in your sneakers, so it's not as dangerous running, say, if it's icy out or just snow falling and slippery. Yeah, if you get a good attitude and a positive, again, I'm not a big fan of winter. I'd much rather the summer, but I do like getting out there because, you know, we have to do something. We can't just sit inside and be claustrophobic for the winter. So to get out there and change it up a little bit can be fun.
Is there a certain temperature that you just don't go out in? I mean, we come from Montana and you get like at zero or below zero.
The wind chill.
Fahrenheit.
Yeah.
I mean, it gets pretty cold in Connecticut.
Yeah, it can get pretty cold. If it's sub zero, I don't go out. I'll stay on the treadmill. I think it's a little dangerous. You know, and you can't get out for very long because then your face isn't covered, obviously, but so you can get frostbite. So I'd be careful.
But
for
if
sure.
It was like 14 degrees, you'd be out in it running.
14. As you know what? The difference for me is windy. If it's 14 and windy, may not be a big fan because the wind comes down and just makes you feel uncomfortable. But if it's 14 and sunny and not windy, I would go out for sure.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. 10, maybe not. 14, yeah.
All right. So it's hard to believe that it's actually winter in some places. It doesn't feel like it around here. It's like 80 degrees, October 31st.
I feel jilted out of my fall. By this time of the year, I want to have a jacket on. I want to have my Uggs on. And I'm like still in shorts and having the air conditioning on. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and by December we want chestnuts roasting.
Over an open fire, yes.
I know, it's amazing though. I'm wearing like t-shirt and sandals today and shorts. I'm ready to go jump in the river. It's amazingly warm here in our neck of the woods. But I know that a lot of you are already dealing with the cold weather and have done some runs in snow already this year. So hopefully this quick tip was a help. That brings us to the end of this episode. Thanks so much for being a listener. It's always great to connect with you online through Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and of course our website, marathontrainacademy.com. A lot of great stuff happening over there. We just released volume 2 of our archived podcast episodes from the past. And of course, if you want to find out more about training with the Academy, about our training plans, about our coaching services, or just check out our free content, blog posts, and other podcast episodes, we've got all that good stuff over there. That's marathontrainacademy.com. Well, be safe, everybody. Listen to your body. As Brian Regan would say, take luck. And remember, you have what it takes to run a marathon and change your life. Well on my way, well on my way. Oh, wait.